Everything's against me and it's got me down. If I jumped in the river, I would probably drown. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive. These shabby shoes I'm wearing all the time, they're full of holes and nails. Brother, if I stepped on a worn-out dime, I bet a nickel I could tell you if it was heaven or hell.
Lemon face. Lemon face. All right.
Shortest pre-show ever.
Mm-hmm.
It was nice. It was a good refresher.
Yeah. But you know what is nice, sir?
What's nice, sir?
Welcome to There Goes a Podcast, episode 439. This is Jorge.
This is Jacob.
And this is
Ree. This is nicer?
Yeah, you know what is nicer?
How are you, gentlemen?
Better now that I'm here.
Yeah, you're doing. We're doing the same thing, kind of.
Yeah, you're doing a lot more. That's for sure. Mine's been stretched out, but then like when it's time to work, it's like crunch, you know. So it's been hectic, but I'm just happy to chill.
You're taking apart a bathroom right now.
Yeah, because of the water damage. We paused it for like 3 weeks, but we're finally back and redoing a bunch of tiling. And then I just finished painting my room and building furniture this weekend. And yeah. How's your shit going?
It's going. It's slow. We're in our room now. We're in our bedroom.
Okay.
So we're going to do one of the kids' rooms this weekend.
Oh, you know that Beach Boys song, In My Room, dude? It's a beautiful song. Ripped Brian Wilson, dude.
He did die, huh?
Yeah. It would say some fucked up shit about him, dude. Go ahead, dude.
I don't know anything about him.
See what happens, dude.
I don't know anything about him.
Or see what Israelis I call over here, dude. They're my handler.
What the fuck?
No, but yeah, you guys are both doing house renovations.
We are.
Yeah, no time. Barely any time for movies, just the occasional theater trip. Yeah.
Yeah.
So what?
We're a little low energy tonight. I feel it.
I'm good.
I feel it.
I'm good.
I chugged half a bang on the way here.
Oh did you? That's unusual for you.
Yeah.
What? It's just because it's a switch in the routine.
Yeah. It's just rushing down here. Yeah, dude. I gotta be ready. You know,
it's gonna all. Do you feel it right here?
Yeah, I feel it like in my chest, and then
the center line.
Yeah, the center line.
That's fucking. That's where you need it.
I feel it in my chest and in my center line. That's a wild thing.
He just said stuff, and I agreed with him.
I don't want to hear all this.
You sound like over with. You know a lot about Bang. So
yeah. Again, there's a new coworker. Thank God he's a fucking dude, and he's like 28, which is dope. And his name's Jordy. He's a good dude. And he's also, how long have you been drinking those bangs?
You just doxed him, dude.
Yeah, I doxed him. He's not even white either, and he's named Jordy. The fuck is that? No, but he's
like
cool.
Like LaForge?
Yeah, exactly what I said. And he's 28 and doesn't know what the he's off.
He's all what, he's all, dude?
What's that? He hasn't seen Seven. He hasn't seen Seven. He hasn't seen The Fly. He didn't even know what Seven was.
He's like, what, the number, dude?
Dude, it was crazy. But he saw the 12-pack of Bang in my car because he was shadowing me. And he's all, damn, you're ready, dude. Wow, how long have you been drinking them Bangs? I'm like, since I've been sober, like, for like almost 11 years. But I mean, they didn't come out till like halfway through, but...
You're like, but there were others.
He's all, why Bang? And I gave him this spiel, like you're saying, Jacob, and I realized, like, damn, dude. Yeah, I do know a lot about Bang. And then I showed him the CEO, because you got to show him the CEO.
Yeah, you have to.
Yeah.
He's probably super stoked today, right?
Of course. Yeah. I know, man. I know, you know, there is no ethical consumption in late stage capitalism, you know?
He's like jumping for joy right now. He's like, yes! It passed.
Dude, like, the fact that his face looks like that with that expression in his eyes, the emptiness.
Yeah, he's got them shark eyes.
It doesn't mean good things for the product, but I'm waiting to get just the dead eyes. You know what I mean?
Oh, yeah, you think you develop them over a certain amount of years?
Yeah, if you drink enough Bang, you get dead eyes and wear gold. Gold chains.
Actually, Jake, would you hand me a Diet Coke, please?
Yeah.
There you go. Aspartame.
I'll do the same thing.
thank you. But,
What else? What else been going down?
Well, tomorrow's... Well, I mean, by the time people listen to this, who knows what month it'll be.
Tomorrow's 4th of July. Tomorrow's
4th of July, and I'm not feeling particularly patriotic.
They're canceling a lot of firework things, places, too, especially because they don't want people to show up and be...
Deported.
You know?
It's hard. So, you know us Mexicans like a light show.
Mm-hmm. Well... I said, you're right. But no, that's fucked up that you would ever say anything like that about those people.
The people of the sun?
The people of the sun.
Yeah.
Yeah. I saw some fucking dumbass comment on Facebook, and it's some lady, she's all, no one's canceling the 4th. And I'm like, no one's canceling DYs and hot dogs and them fireworks.
Got her.
Yeah, I just do it and leave, and then I get all these notifications that I don't go back. Don't go look. Don't get sucked in. Just
That's some self-control,
stick
man.
Stick and move.
That's some self-control.
Because the algorithm now is giving me like Beer Bart. What is it? Brett Bart?
Brett Bart?
Yeah, it's giving me that. And it's like, okay, let me see these comments. And like Ted Nugent. And I'm like, let me see these comments. Like, holy shit. And then it's like, who's bots? I can't tell. Like, I'm arguing with a bot.
Bots arguing bots, man.
And then it's like, that's fucking dystopian.
Oh, my God.
I went on, not actively looking for another job, but just out of curiosity, like, all first thing on ZipRecruiter is just fucking Border Patrol and ICE shit.
For real?
Yeah.
That's fucked.
Top list. It's like sponsored.
Checks out, man. You know?
Ugh.
Maybe we can get jobs in ICE and then, like, infiltrate.
ICE podcast.
Yeah.
Reports from the front lines.
Yeah.
I'm surprised that's not
Dr. Phil.
I'm surprised that's not a thing. I was thinking the same thing. Like, what if everyone just applied and then, like, just did nothing? just showed up. Just kind of nothing. Fucked up everything, yeah.
Yeah. Alligator, Alcatraz. We got too much going on, as usual.
Too much.
The GOP selling merch. For Alligator Alcatraz?
Sounds about right.
It's fucking, dude, it's crazy. The Onion is not keeping up. They're like, what? What?
We can't make shit up anymore. I can't even.
Yeah.
Like, in good news, the Switch 2 has been released.
Yes, it has.
Did you get one?
Not yet. It's probably be a Christmas thing.
Yeah, Christmas.
Even if the kids care about it.
If there's Christmas.
We're canceling Christmas now?
Hopefully China has invaded us and destroyed us by then. There will be no more Christmas.
That's it. That's it.
If you're going to do the totalitarian police state, they've been doing it a while, so it's not as extreme. They're not trying to make up for lost time.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Like, this is compressed into a few months. That's just like, we got to do it. Like, while I'm in office, like, China's like, dude, we've been doing this shit.
They're like, chill. Yeah. Give it a moment.
Yeah. It takes a minute. Rome was not built in a day. But the Switch 2. And they got the new Mario Kart game.
I'm going to get it.
Super Mario Kart World.
The new Donkey Kong looks awesome.
Yeah. Donkey Song.
Yeah, people were like, it's just Mario Odyssey with digging. And it's like, are you fucking dumb? You're dumb. It looks fun.
Yeah.
Who said that?
People.
That, you know, yeah. Nah, dude. Metacritic, dude. What is it, like a 92 median average from like 100 fucking reviewers?
Donkey Kong? Mario.
Mario.
Yeah.
I think Donkey Kong's a little lower.
Probably, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Well,
that's the show.
That's it.
What you been watching?
What do we want to talk about first?
What you been watching?
What have I been watching?
Yeah, we still got like a show.
Do we? Ronnie and I have been watching. Ronnie and I have been watching this show called, what the fuck is it called? Clickbait. It's on Netflix. Give me just one second. Just give me a moment. It's from 2001, so that's how current I am with things.
How'd this happen? The randomizer again.
Yeah. It got me. The randomizer got me. The screen on the thing got me. So it's about basically like this family man, and there's a video of him. He goes missing, and there's a video of him holding up signs that are like, I abuse women. I have murdered a woman.
Fuck yeah.
It's not good.
They're, no, that's not.
His sister is like the worst actress I've seen in a show in a really long time. But it's glorious how bad it is.
It's a show?
Yeah.
It's a
like
series?
It's like a mini series, yeah.
Oh, I thought you said it was from 2001, not 2021. And I was just like, what the fuck? I didn't know clickbait was in the lexicon in 2001.
Yeah. Gotcha. I don't know what else I've been watching. I've been watching like random little bullshit. A lot of YouTube.
Yeah.
YouTube.
Yeah, nothing with me. I finished season one Andor. I'm on the first episode of season two, and that's all I've really had time for. Yeah.
Andor season one and two. Finished season two.
Fuck.
Last night.
Holy shit.
And you know, like I'm gonna pretend real quick, like there are still first-time listeners to the show. None of us are really big fans of what Disney Star Wars is.
Yeah.
Excluding, like, Rogue One.
I mean, Acolyte was pretty good.
you didn't even watch it, huh? No. Dude, it's fucking bad. It's just as bad as they said. But, and Skeleton Crew, like, I turned off after 5 minutes. I know people said they liked that, yeah. But it's like...
Whatever. I actually forgot that existed until you said it.
Yeah, because there's so much ephemeral content.
Yeah.
Anyway, dude, like Andor season one and season two, the Gilroys, Tony Gilroy, Dan Gilroy, these two brothers, between them, like Dan Gilroy wrote and directed Nightcrawler. Tony Gilroy helped a lot, of course, with Rogue One to clean it up because he said it was a fucking mess when they asked him to come in and help out. But he also wrote a lot of the Bourne trilogy. He also wrote and directed Michael Clayton. So it does great with those ambiguities and political espionage.
Yeah.
Anyway, dude, like this show fucking over-delivered for me, completely exceeded any kind of... I had waited until both seasons were out because I'd heard it was great forever. J.K. Cheeseburger said it was fucking great. Mm-hmm. He was right.
Yeah.
He was right.
You got on, dude.
Yeah. He was right about Jenna Ortega.
Fucking... Actually, yeah. Actually.
Wasn't right about Nintendo. But, you know, two out of three is not bad.
Yeah.
Anyway.
He got you, dude.
The fucking show, not only does it do all that, but it, like, it completely redefines what Star Wars could even fucking be. Yeah. Like, so.
And watching it now, I'm sure it's fucking, it's something else.
It is. Yeah. And it was, there's, I don't want to jump the gun because you haven't watched season two, but there's a couple episodes in particular that are just so, like, so fucking on the nose that it's actually very uncomfortable to watch.
Yeah.
And I haven't felt that way watching Star Wars like that. So, yeah, man. Like, if you haven't watched it, like, fucking now's the time.
Yeah. Now you got to rewatch Rogue One.
Yeah, we rewatched it. We started rewatching it last night, but it was after we had finished season two, and we got about halfway through. But, dude, it's like, it's seamless as far as what it sets up, because you're talking, like, hours or days from the end of the... Season two to the beginning of Rogue One.
Yeah, even though they didn't point it out, like there was this inmate in season one, and I was like, why the fuck does this guy look so familiar? Because I've seen Rogue One like 6 or 7 times.
Yeah.
So I kind of like memorized in the back of my head. And then I was like, this guy was totally in Rogue One. He's one of the soldiers, Melshi or something like that.
Yeah.
And then I don't know if he's in season two or not, but I was like, holy shit, like that's crazy that when I rewatch it now, I'm going to be like, this little guy who's got like 2 minutes of screen time, it probably now has like a whole backstory.
Absolutely, yeah. And it's crazy because Rogue One it's a film. It's not the long form of television or of a series. And it has to do things a lot more quickly. The music's different. It's not like the Nicholas Brittle score from the show. If anything, the movie didn't feel as good as the show. It just felt like it cost more. And it felt like it has a bigger budget and a different score.
Fuck yeah.
That's the kind of praise. Like, if my ranking would go like Empire Strikes Back Andor with Star Wars.
That's now. What everyone's been saying that. Yeah.
Have they?
Yeah.
Dude, that's fucking crazy. I never fucking thought.
They said it's one of the greatest live action things ever put to screen next to like Empire. Yeah.
It really fucking is for Star Wars. Are you going to watch it?
No.
Dude, do you hear what we're saying?
I'm done with Star Wars.
This isn't, I did that first. I was done with Star Wars first.
No, you weren't.
I was done with Star Wars in the prequels. Yes.
Nah.
Way before.
Nah.
Life of Chuck. The freaking Flanagan.
I've been wanting to watch that.
Dude, you guys, I mean, we were using the AMC pass because I didn't. I heard like not a lukewarm response, but pretty good reviews. And I was like, whatever, we'll stream it.
Shitty opening.
And yeah, exactly. But it's also relatively low budget. Neon, dude, the movie fucking got me. I cried like 3 times.
Good, dude.
It's Stephen King short. Is it a short story or not?
Yeah, it's a short story.
And Sophia loved it, and
it's a great story.
It really fucking is. And I kind of called it at the. I don't know what the structure of the book is.
The book.
But I was like, wait a minute, are these all characters like in his internal world, you know? And then like, it starts from Act 3 and then goes backwards.
Yeah, it's super dope.
Oh, okay.
It's fucking great. And Tom Hiddleston is like, I don't want to say barely in it, but he's not like the biggest part of the movie.
Yeah.
And yeah, Flanagan knows how to tell a freaking story, especially he knows how to adapt Stephen King. And it, dude, I didn't expect it. Like, it felt very Stephen King, though, still. Mm-hmm. Even though it's not, like, horror, like, directly. You know? So, definitely recommend that. And then, what else did we... Oh, F1. Freaking Kaczynski. What's his first name, Jacob?
Tom? Is it Tom? No.
Joseph?
Joseph Kaczynski sounds right.
Yeah, it sounds right. It's the guy who directed Top Gun Maverick, but years before that, he had directed Oblivion and Tron Legacy. But he really hit his stride with Top Gun Maverick and shooting with practical effects, but with fucking hyper modern sensibilities.
Yeah.
And this movie, it's a little light on the story side. And if you've seen the trailer, you're like, oh, I don't want to watch that. Or maybe you're not. I don't know. But it's fucking, it's 2.5 hours and it flies through it. And it's slick and it's extremely fun. And as far as like cinematography and racing scenes go, like, it is the state of the art. Like, it really is. And it's fun to see, like, because Formula One goes all over the planet, it's really fun to see them go, it's like fucking Mario Kart. Like, it's going all over the world, you know?
Oh, shit.
Yeah, which is fun.
That is cool.
Damn.
Yeah, I missed it in all the premium formats.
Yeah.
I'm going to have to watch in regular, but that's all
right. Right from the intro, like, it gives you its kind of visual language and, like, the movement and the speed of this stuff. And then the score kicks in. I'm like, who the fuck did this score? And then it's like, score by Hans Zimmer. I'm like, oh, okay. So it's just got like,
makes sense.
It's fucking stacked. And a super fun summer movie. And I guess they announced there's going to be a sequel already because it had a pretty massive opening, like 170 million worldwide, but still a little bit above expectations. And then they had re-released the 20th anniversary of Brokeback Mountain.
Mm.
Huh.
And that movie remains, that's a fucking heartbreaker, dude. Jack Twist, I wish I knew how to quit you. They beat him to death, man.
Mm. Spoilers.
It's fucked up. It's fucked up. And it's beautiful.
Ang Lee can do no wrong, you know?
Well, that was during that time. Yeah, yeah. What did he do? Crouching Tiger and then that? And then fucking and then like Hulk. Life of Pi? Oh, Hulk!
Hulk, Gemini Man.
Yeah. We don't talk about modern Ang Lee, but...
Well, that was even pre... Like...
Billy Lynn's Long Walk.
Like, how does he... one I still want to see.
Me too, yeah.
He goes Crouching Tiger, then the Hulk.
That's dope.
That's wild.
And then he said, fuck that. That didn't work. Let me go back to... He's off. No. I psych. Brokeback Mountain.
Psych.
Did you see the interview with the...
He did a psych for real.
Did you see the panel with Jake Gyllenhaal talking about Brokeback? And he's like, yeah, when Ang Lee was really happy with the take. And he was like, yes. That's so gay. So gay. Yes.
No way.
Yeah. Fucking Jake Gyllenhaal.
I saw some dude who's like... Totally unrealistic, freaking going in dry after eating beans. And it's like, that's a good point, man.
Damn.
That's a good point.
Yeah. And then the two ladies are in there, Anne Hathaway and Heath Ledger's widow. She's in it. They did great.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's right. He did do Gemini Man. Holy shit.
Yeah, something happened. I don't know. Crack cocaine.
I never watched this movie, but the trailers were something else.
By the way, King Hans, you're trying to tell me you've never sprinkled cocaine on weed and smoked it. That's fucking like, no, I don't mix bullshit. And if you haven't, you should, because if you do coke and you smoke weed, The natural thing would be to sprinkle it on the fucking weed, especially if you're drunk. You know?
I'm not a cocaine user.
A connoisseur?
But wouldn't burning the cocaine kind of ruin it?
It's called Cocoa Puffs. So when you, anytime, if you, there are more than one ways to do a drug. So
Yeah. But like.
No, you can smoke cocaine. And when you do that, it's called crack. Because when you smoke cocaine, the effect, the loop of it is different. It doesn't cross the blood-brain barrier the same way. So you're like, oh, I need to smoke some more. Oh, I need to smoke some more. Oh, I need to smoke some more. Which is dope. But if you're just sprinkling a little bit on weed, all you're going to do is have a little.
Why would you do it that way as opposed to just like going up the nose?
Because it's luxurious, man.
To smoke it?
Fuck. To sprinkle it on the weed. It's Cocoa Puffs. It's not like you're only going to smoke it.
Yeah.
You're going to sprinkle it on the weed and snort it.
Uh-huh.
Right?
Sure.
Yeah, I mean, you eat edibles, right?
Yeah.
Why would you smoke it? Because you fucking, there's two different ways to do it. You guys don't, let's not be close-minded. You know? Like, have you done an alcohol tampon?
No.
Well, the lining inside your ass has the most, like, blood vessels. Yeah. So that's the one that you, faster, you absorb the booze better. Mm-hmm. So you'd get a better drunk if you, you're going in the wrong hole, man.
Right.
I never did the alcohol tampon, but it does sound interesting.
Interesting is one way to put it.
Yeah. I just highly doubt he's never sprinkled it on the weed. That's something you would do when you're drunk. I mean, seriously. You ever tried cocaine, Jacob?
No.
That is one thing. I feel like this regime doesn't really care about drugs, except fentanyl. Fentanyl, like, they're big on, but, you know.
Okay.
I think that's it.
I think that's it, too.
Want to take a break?
No.
All right, no break.
Not on this one, anyways.
Okay, no break. Want to pretend to take a break?
We're back. Whoa!
Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast is where you can join the Patreon, support the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
$1.
Yeah, we just had a, go ahead, go. How many dollars?
I thought you said, yeah, we just said that. I was like, fuck, did they? I was like, holy shit. $1, $3, $5, $10, $20, $50, $100, $200. Is a three or four people will give us $500 each.
Our last recording, we just did a Patreon exclusive episode on Predator, Killer of Killers.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good one. So you can sign up and get access to those exclusives.
You get the episodes early, which we've been doing a pretty good job about. And every now and then there's some merchandise. Patreon.com/WhoGoesThere Podcast. Thank you to the Patreon.
There you go. Let's start with 20 days later, 28 years later.
Do we want to start with 28 fucking years later? Do it.
Yes.
Let's do it.
I've got a little bit of reasoning, but I'm not gonna explain it. So yeah, 28 Days Later, directed by Danny Boyle and written by Alex Garland.
I want you to see that.
Yeah, you. Well, because you wrote it. Yeah, and you directed it. You're proud of that. You're proud of that number.
I did.
Yeah. Starring Jodie Comer or Comer.
Listen, bro.
What's up?
Stay woke, dude.
So stay woke or go broke, dude.
Yeah.
Aaron Taylor Johnson, Rafe. It's Rafe, right? Rafe
Fiennes, but Rafe who's going to... I mean, who wants to do that?
Rocco Haynes and a bunch of other fucking people. La, 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 la. So, this takes place 28 years later.
Shit.
Appropriately titled.
Always has been.
Yeah, always has been. Yeah. Their title game is strong.
The end, 28 days later. They say that in all three of them. It's like, okay, what is this? All right, anyway.
Yeah.
That's dumb. Go.
You want me to go?
You are going. You said you had a reasoning behind this.
Well, I just, because I have a feeling that we're going to have less to talk about on this one than we will with Bring Her Back.
Well,
for me.
For you, yeah, well, maybe. For me, I mean, that's the one I watched recently. So strap in for about 45 minutes.
Of just blithering and blathering.
Not doing it.
No?
No, but you go. Go.
Well, okay. It's my second favorite of the trilogy.
Okay.
And you don't think the second one's aging well, so there you go.
Yeah. I think overall I liked it, but I have more to say about the things that bugged me than I do about the things that I was impressed with, which is, I mean, I guess I'll kind of work that backwards a little bit. I think it's pretty well paced. It's pretty well acted for the most part. The visuals are stunning. The location work is stunning.
Bad movie. Clearly it's a bad movie.
But I do have some issues specifically with the rage zombies. I do have some issues, which we'll get to. We'll talk about it. And then...
kind of like the facehuggers in Romulus, right?
Somehow worse.
Yeah, fuck, you're
somehow,
right.
Somehow worse.
Yeah, it was never about the zombies, though.
Right, then don't have them, then.
Yeah, well, they're about to not have them. They're evolving. You know?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. Yeah, and they just got big dicks now.
Mm. But anywho, we'll talk about it. Jacob, what'd you think?
Listen, I'm just going to outright say it. It's my favorite of the three.
That's fucking right, dude.
Rewatched the first two. I obviously loved the first one, but I just saw it for the second time recently. And I fucking was listening to the score on the way here for like maybe the 15th time. Like
Young
on
Fathers,
loop.
Dude.
It's fucking good. Yeah. Listen, yeah, for me, like, my biggest gripe is something technical, like a herd of CGI deer, you know, and maybe
awful.
Maybe ATJ's awful. Acting on the second time. I'm like, I don't think this is good acting.
It's just at least he's in his actual accent, which covers it better.
It does. It's more hidden for sure. Nice. But aside from this, I love this like King Arthurian like quest kind of movie. And normally I would hate a movie that kind of backtracks and is kind of repetitive with the locations, but I love how every time they retread ground, it's with different thematic elements. I love...
It's like a Metroidvania. That's
right,
true.
Seriously, dude, it is, yeah. And it is very gamey, video gamey, and I think that's just Alex Garland's pacing and script writing, which is like fucking just top tier. Because for me, I'm like a big stickler for pacing in movies. In this movie, just like every time, I love how it's just broken down. And there's this big second half that just changes tonally. There's a couple of tonal shifts and whiplashes throughout the movie. And overall, all the artistic swings, just kind of like how Sinners, we talked about Sinners and Ryan Coogler's taking these big artistic swings with some of the visuals. I love the editing in this movie. It's so different. I love that each iteration in this franchise feels very different from the other. And I like how each movie can also be viewed on its own completely. What I can't say about the sequels for 28 years later, but this film at least feels like it could stand its own. And big fan.
Except for that ending, because the ending, dude, is too abrupt and blah, blah, blah. But when the other two come out and are fucking awesome, no one will care. But anyway.
What?
With the Jimmies who come out at the end. We'll get there, yeah. A lot of people complained about the abrupt ending with the Jimmies because they're like, what the fuck is this?
Stupid.
Yeah.
That's the least.
Oh, that's a lot of fucking... These people...
Oh, online, it's like half the people fucking hated this movie because the ending ruined
that's
everything.
Weird. Yeah, right. That's why weird. If you saw that shit, you might be like being like... You might just reactively be like, it's the best ever. Because you don't want to be lumped with these fucking idiots.
Yeah.
No. So, I think that's a good segue to address... I do want to address, like, it's very divisive. And I'm glad it's divisive because...
But you're talking strictly the ending?
The movie is very divisive. It is really the response to it. There's expectations, massive expectations. 28 Days Later has grown into a bona fide classic. A lot of people still like 28 Weeks Later who had slept on it initially. We liked it when it came out, and now we're like, it's not aging so well.
A little bit, yeah.
But when you compare it, just how massive the zombie genre has gotten and remained, and this is before The Walking Dead and The Ass of Us, and no, those aren't, whatever. No, but, so the thing is...
It did come out in a time of, it was a, like a the upswing of the zombie
Yeah,
like the zombie genre.
I think it was partly, I don't want to say responsible for it, but it was about, so the first one was about, like, it's a new millennium and look at all this terrible shit that's coming up and it's going to destroy us. So, like, having watched 28 Days Later recently, it starts with footage, actual news footage, that they use with clever editing because it's fucking Danny Boyle, mm-hmm. to lead up to this fucking biological contagion. Right, and the footage is very unnerving, and it lets you know that there is a socio-political subtext to this fucking thing, as there always is in zombie movies, right? So, anyway, Alex Garland and Danny Boyle, like, Matt was fucking texting me, like, is it good? Is it good? I'm like, Matt, you're asking me the wrong questions.
Yeah, it's and silly.
You are who you are, but I will tell you, they didn't repeat themselves. Think of it more like a really experimental filmmaker who's hit the big time but is still really fucking experimental, getting back together with his old buddy and revisiting the stuff they did when they were younger, except they're both fucking huge now. What are they going to do? Because that's really what this is.
Yeah.
And they did not want to repeat themselves, and they decided basically, in my opinion, to reinvent the zombie film again. And they made and they leaned into the cultural Britishness aspect.
Oh, yeah, a lot.
Yeah, instead of just referencing, like, okay, this is, instead of, like, hey, we've got bad times ahead, now we're, like, post-COVID, Trump 2.0 over here, Brexit, all this kind of stuff. So it's kind of like the world has already been destroyed, and what do we look at? The remains. And then, like, he even intercuts, like, footage of people, archers with bows and arrows and Robin Hood. And I could see these things. You could feel in the theater, people are disconnecting. Like, why the fuck is he showing that? And it's because he's like retrieving like the like it is like going back to a medieval type situation.
Yeah, society's regressed a little. Yeah.
It's regressed, but it still has its like they have their fucking hero's journey where you've got to leave the fucking thing. I love the whole medieval fucking thing. I love the bow and arrow. Like how it's a return to that. It's like Mad Max a little bit because, mm-hmm. and it makes sense because you're not dealing with days later or weeks later. You're dealing with years. So what would this look like 3 decades later? Yeah. What would, and it's also great because it starts out in this kind of, the first one you started in London.
London.
You're in a major metropolitan area. This is in like, I don't know the name of the fucking place, but they're out in the, in a suburb or a relatively rural area, right? So even that, though, has been transformed into, like, its own little village and kingdom and everything. But it's not skyscrapers and stuff. So, again, they didn't repeat themselves there aesthetically. Mm-hmm. And then they're in the woods the whole time. Everything both of you mentioned about, like, how this is shot. Like, Danny Boyle fucking, like, I'm dropping my jaw during this thing.
Yeah, we saw that iPhone, the 20 iPhone rig, and you're like, how is this going to look on screen? And when you see it, you're like, holy shit, I was not expecting that.
So, I think that's one of my biggest gripes with the filmmaking.
A little too Matrixy for
those
you?
Those goofy little, like, post-kill, like, wraparound things. I found myself getting really taken out of, like, enjoying the moment.
You're like, this is Uwe Boll's House of the Dead.
Kind of, yeah. I agree with you on the video game aspect of it, where it felt like, you know, the kid is leveling up a little bit and, like, learning skills and whatnot. But it's like, hey, you know what's going to make this look like a fucking video game? Fucking a video game. Like, it's just... kind of jarring, man. It took me out.
Yeah.
The 4 or 5 times that you saw it, and I'm like, all right, once was cool. Maybe. Twice.
I loved how kinetic it was. I loved it. He's throwing... He has that technique. He has the grainier type of stuff that happens. He has drone shots. He has old archival footage in black and white.
The night vision shit. The
night vision.
That stuff was incredible.
Like, I like what he's using, like, all of it, and it feels like chaos, but it's organized chaos.
Yeah.
I think that kind of archival footage of the and I don't even know if they're rage zombies at that point, right? Because it could be humans that are acting. I think they're
exactly.
I think that's going to lead into more into the sequel into what is it, Bone Palace?
The Bone Temple. Yeah. Yeah, and then, like, so speaking of that, too, you remember the scene in 28 Weeks Later where they're, like, open targets or, you know, mm-hmm. can kill them all.
Yeah.
And that's what I mean, like, where it's, like, and he's, like, we've lost control. like that bleakness and all that, but that's where it's really emulating like zombies or people. That shit happens where they just open fucking target on everyone there. And it's like the same, like 28 days later, the whole thing's leading up for them to get to this military compound. And within a couple days of being there, it's like, it's rape time. And it's like, so the whole like thesis of like all that stuff is there. So when they're showing like the bow and arrow and all that stuff, like, it doesn't even matter if they're rage zombies or not. It doesn't matter what it is, because eventually they lose control and then it fucking, it's just people killing people. Like, whether they're infected or not. Like, either way, it just keeps ending up the same place. Like, what I've heard a lot from people too, including like the Lord of our Patreon and whatnot, a lot of people had issues to talk about the infected, because you had some issues.
Yeah.
A lot of people had issues with the pregnancy thing.
I didn't really have a problem with it, because like, no, knowing what I know about like childbirth and that sort of thing, I'm like, yeah, I could see a woman that was pregnant getting infected being able to give birth to a healthy child. I could see that being a possibility.
Well, if the thing's trying to survive, it's gonna,
well,
the, if it's engineered that way,
yeah I mean, like, if you know anything about the placenta, it keeps the babies healthy, like,
which is cool, they bring that up later.
Like, women with AIDS can have babies that have that aren't infected. Like, it's possible.
Mm-hmm. Right,
so it's not beyond, like, to me, I was like, all right, cool, dope.
Well, and then like
the, and they mention it,
even the idea of the connection, there's literally like two women in this movie, maybe three, as far as characters go.
Not yeah. very woke.
Yeah, it's, well, it is very woke, because look what men have done to the world, dude.
Okay. Well, and there is a something going on too with how the parallels between the two kind of quests, this your main protagonist, the son, going on one with the father and then one with the mother, and how they, and how each parent views the infected and how they treat them differently. The father really doesn't see them as humans. They're just empty shells that need to be put down, like rabid animals.
Exactly. And that's, it brings up a bigger point there. And this is like, this is Alex Garland. It's both of them, but the screenwriter, he's in annihilation mode and philosophical Alex Garland mode here to me. And men.
Yeah.
I mean, fucking clearly, right? With the scene, prolonged scene of a man giving birth in men. So, but like, the idea of the mom connecting with the other woman, even though she's infected. The thing is, it would only be the first impulse. As soon as they got in there, my first impulse was shooter. And the first impulse of every guy is shooter, right? And that would be the case for a great many things. And it has been the case for a great many things. And I'm not trying to be woke. I'm saying, though, this is why, it's how we're different. We're wired differently. A woman would be more likely, and it would be necessary for a woman much of the time, and it had been historically, to be like, no, let's try to help them out and see if this fucking produces an outcome you're not, that's not just kill it. It might be a threat. You know, also, the mom isn't like thinking rationally. She's a little off.
Yeah, she blinked out probably a little there in that moment.
Yeah, she blinked out and she's having this just like fucking the mental illness or whatever you want to call it. She's not sitting there like freaking assessing the risk. She just sees a woman giving birth, you know? And then immediately afterwards, they reverted back to that though. The baby's born, but then the mother is still infected and she's going to try to attack you. So they didn't like cop out. It wasn't like, oh, now we're gonna like hang out with the zombie.
Speaking of not copping out, so I, the other thing I had a little bit of issue with is that it is
28 inches.
No, I, that, whatever, dude. Like,
everyone kept mentioning, you know, that
people are gonna, like, they're gonna have dicks out, man. That's
all their clothes have been completely destroyed.
Or most of them don't even have clothes at this
point. Why would they have clothes?
The opening scene,
are they making clothes?
In particular, I felt really, really felt it. Dope. It didn't really take it there. I wanted to see children fucking get torn apart, and I didn't get that.
The sound was fine.
I liked it, dude.
I loved it. I wanted to see kids' arms being ripped off. That would have been really cool.
No, I kind of agree, because I do want a little bit more carnage, because this is our only glimpse at like classic 28 days later rage zombies. They're like puking blood and everything and doing the things that we were kind of used to in the last two movies. And then obviously they've been evolved and they're much more different now. But yeah, it was nice to see it, and it would have been cool to see more. Yeah.
I was fine with the sound, and I feel very much, I don't want to say this is a tease, but it's the first of a new trilogy. There's a few things we didn't get to in this. Like, we didn't get to the major theme song. We got to the Godspeed Black Emperor
thing. East Hastings, yeah.
Yeah, but we didn't get to the... Dun, dun, to that feeling of, like, just overwhelming bleakness.
They're going
to
save that for Killian Murphy, for sure.
I think so. Yeah. And they're going to save... There's going to be more carnage to come. Speaking of that intro, though, like, a lot is set up there that... I had to do some research on to get a full fucking view of.
Yeah. And Jimmy Savile. Basically, if you're American, it pretty much went over your head.
It's once you learn about it, though, it's important because do you know who this Jimmy Savile guy is?
No.
Jimmy Savile is this freaking...
That's who they're dressed up as at the
end. Right, yeah. Okay. Yeah, and so he's an omnipresent, like, British figure who was beloved. He was beloved. He was, like, he would visit royalty. He was just this, like, fucking a comedian guy who was on talk shows. He had children's stuff, a lot of stuff, like, with children.
Bill Cosby-ish.
Bill Cosby and all this. And then it came out he was a pedophile and had been a sexual predator and rapist.
And that was after he was dead. Yeah, we found out.
After he was dead. And it
super cool.
Decades and decades of it. In the timeline of this, so that guy is worshiping Jimmy Savile when he grows up. And so he names a whole, and he would wear these jumpsuits. So he has a whole gang after Jimmy Savile not knowing the truth that he was a fucking pedophile because they never got that to find out about that.
And the only and he had no more parents anymore, so he was raised off fucking Teletubbies and Power Rangers.
Yeah.
And shit. So that's why the whole ending is like really fucking, you know, out there.
Well, and then they people were complaining like, "Oh, the ending," and then they would show Power Rangers like making fun of the ending, and it's like, "Yeah, that's like the last cultural touchstones he had." So he is using Power Rangers and Teletubbies as a touchstone. You guys remember Threads? Or you haven't seen it?
No, not yet, but
yeah. Yeah, Threads, there's a part where they have like one VHS left, Jorge, and the kids are watching it every day, and that's like informing their whole idea of like school. And
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever you'd have left of the old world would be like the scripture. And in this fucking ludicrous Mad Max, crazy-ass, eccentric fucking go-for-broke band of thieves and whatever... They're all the Jimmies.
Well, to me that ending and the idea that they would be kind of like a goofball like troop of Jimmies is no less silly to me than like a medieval style village.
Exactly.
So it's the same. They're just emulating more and more and more, right?
Which is why they reference that. And
so I'm not bugged by it. I like the bizarre.
Yeah.
Like it reminded me a little bit of what's the movie that has like the Harbinger kid in the middle in the very beginning? Where is it Cabin Fever?
Yeah.
Where he has a kid doing all the
pancakes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It had that kind of like otherworldly, like there's something what else is happening after this film is gonna go bonkers, right? Yeah. So I like that stuff.
And speaking of that too, if the next two films are bad, this one will of course be retroactively worse by comparison. If this is the first of a trilogy and it escalates and ramps up and turns out to be a solid trilogy, even a lot of the naysayers will eventually embrace this as a fucking... There's a reason this one's divisive right now. I think... Having seen it, I'm not surprised it's divisive. Because it is nowhere close to what... There's no way you could expect this movie.
It was completely different than what I was expecting.
Exactly.
Yeah, but I still loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. And so to address, like, before, like... The other thing, Ralph Fiennes.
Incredible.
Big fucking character.
Yeah.
So you liked all that stuff.
Yeah.
Yeah, I loved it. A lot of people, I think, again, they got let... You see a lot of people, they were let down in the second half.
Oh, right, because people were expecting, like, that Bone Tower thing to be something else.
Well, medicine. And again, this isn't... Yeah, this no longer, like, 28 Days Later is like, oh, we're all going to die. This one's like, a lot of people have died, and now let's make peace with it.
Oh, it's one of the most beautiful reveals because of the marketing and the sequel being called The Bone Temple. It feels so menacing and evil, and then the reveal that it's... this super beautiful, you know, ode to life and remembrance and shit. It's crazy. I think it's a beautiful scene, the music and everything. I love that. I love the whole second half as much as the first.
So did I.
Yeah.
And then like, you know, he has that little letter he writes, a monologue later to his dad because that's the old trope. Like they're in the village. They don't go beyond it. So they only know the world in that village. And so you have this narrative, he's a lunatic out there. He's like, he's not insane. He's a very kind man.
Yeah.
And he's like, and then even that, he's a doctor. And he's got like the medicine of the old world now that's being lost.
Yeah.
But then also he's reverted to like a shaman. Like he's mm-hmm. out. He's out there in the fucking wilderness coexisting.
Yeah. And with the fucking yeah, things. And even like a small like little technical thing for like the story writing, like a plot hole, people are probably going to be thinking like, well, what do you do with all the dead bodies? Like there's actually someone out there
yeah.
who's dedicated decades of his life burning bodies and cleaning up shit.
Yeah, and by the old world standards, is that really like morbid and crazy? Like, yeah, but they're not in the old world anymore. Mm-hmm. Like you're yeah. Like you could have new fucking norms now. The other thing like too is just like, you know, once upon a time, the British Isles and all that, you had a bunch of pagans that were indigenous in the forest, and then you had people coming in who were settling it with colonialism and with Western civilization and all that. So it kind of brings back that kind of feeling too, where it's like, don't leave the fucking city walls out there in the thing. I mean, there's these hordes of infected, mm-hmm. but it's like, it's retrieving that old thing though too, like, because he's out there amongst the infected in the woods, you know? So I like that
a lot, man.
With the fucking infected though, what's your problem with them?
I guess. Well, clearly they needed to sort of like branch out, right? You had the like the slug infected and
the slow lows.
That was dope.
I just don't. I guess I don't really like the idea of an alpha zombie thing. It becomes less. I guess we're teetering on supernatural a little bit, because it almost feels like they have almost like telekinetic control or telepathic control over the other ones. And I go, well, like, is that the direction we're heading, where they have like hive mind kind of shit?
It's like Left 4 Dead, like don't startle the witch, you know, like yeah. they're gonna send the horde.
It's a little bit jarring to. And I guess we didn't see 28 years of evolution in these zombies, right. which is why it's jarring. But it feels jarring for no reason.
I do hear what you're saying, like at least partially, and I think people wanted more infected. They wanted more of that stuff. But the thing is, like, the world has moved on outside of this, too. They're quarantined, right? Which they do. That's all these kind of, like, big swings, like you said, Jacob, but also, like, these left turns, they have a fucking military guy who gets marooned there, which is a great fucking sequence. Mm-hmm. And he fucking dies great. And then, oh, we got spines getting ripped out like Predator.
I'm fucking fine
with that. But the thing is, it is less about the infected. Like, it's not like...
There wouldn't be huge hordes anymore.
No. It's so. Like we're learning to, like, these people are staying over, this group of humans is staying over here. You got this weirdo doctor out here. You got the Jimmies who are just like, oh, infected? Cool, it's hunting time. Because everyone's lunatics now. Like, it's normalized to them. So it's not like, oh my God, this is terrifying. It's like, no, this is like what we do. We fucking kill infected when we see them.
Yeah.
You know? And so they took it literally, in a sense... They're like, use that as a starting point. Because it's been fucking 3 decades. Mm-hmm. It wouldn't be like, oh my God. Like, you know, like in the house, that was real fucking tense. When they were like,
good.
That was fucking great. That was like...
Trying to get into the attic and stuff, yeah.
Yeah. That was great too when they see that dude's girlfriend, the soldier's girlfriend. And he's like, what's wrong with her face?
Nah.
Because it's just like, that shit's happened in the last 20 years. So it's a bit like time travel. Because this guy's only point of reference was 20 years before that. In the last 20 years, that shit wasn't happening in 2001. People weren't injecting their fucking lips to look like that on a weekly basis.
Which is strange, because, like, if they weren't doing it in 2001, like, how does he... presumably, like, they're doing that in post-apocalyptic London, I guess?
No, because they're quarantined. Those guys, their ship had fucking crashed. The military dude. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So the rest of the world, like at the end of 28 weeks later, it has this feeling like it's gone global.
But it really hasn't.
Apparently not.
Yeah.
Like if it did, it was very brief and they don't really address it. It's like, it's almost like, I don't want to say it's not canon, but...
Yeah, I wonder how they will address it. Yeah,
for sure. Yeah, even that was a decision. Like, 28 years later, I'm initially like, oh, so the whole world's going to be infected.
Yeah.
And Alex Garland and Danny are like, no, let's make it very British.
Yeah.
Let's
the opening it. Yeah, the opening credits, like the, what I forgot you call it, like the scroll in the beginning. Yeah. They don't mention anything about the rest of the world, just the UK. It's and very they, focused on that.
Yeah, they have the Crusades flag, which is fucking dope because it's just like retrieving all of that old, like, you know, divide and conquer type stuff. Mm-hmm. Oh, that scene with the Alpha chasing them across the fucking water bridge.
With the causeway, stars. The causeway, man. Ooh.
Like, that's what I, like, Danny Boyle's so good with, like, feeling, and Alex Garland, like, Annihilation. There's stuff in Annihilation where it's, like, scary and beautiful at the same time.
Yeah, the music pairing, it feels very, like, Olympian.
Yeah.
I don't know, it just.
Mythical.
Yeah, very mythical, yeah.
Not that I want to derail too much, but that causeway, what other horror movie has that been used in? Was that the others that
it was The Woman in Black with
where Daniel Radcliffe. Like, where they were like trapped in the castle.
They used it as a device so he can never call for help.
It is a really cool plot device that they've got like an internal timer that they need to aware of. I think that's fun.
Yeah.
That's fun.
That was cool. And then, like, the father wants to go pursue him, and the tide is up.
Mm-hmm.
And it's like, no.
You're fucked. You're going to go out.
Yeah, it's not like, oh, the gods have said no. It's like, no, the cycles of nature have said no. Like, it's a return to those cycles of nature. Like, you live by them again. Which is dope. Which is where all that shit came from, right? Hmm. They didn't just make it up for fun. I mean, maybe a little. So, it's the best movie ever made.
It's currently top three for me, top three horror of the year for me.
Oh, dude, for me too. That's what I mean. Like, and yeah.
I can dig it.
I feel like we got to give big disclaimers because of the divisiveness, but this one's divisive for a reason. And this is one where time will be kind to
it. It just sounds like people's reasons that they're divisive on it are dumb.
Generally,
I mean, I have my issues with it, and obviously, like, it's me just being nitpicky about things, but there isn't anything in here where I'm like, oh, dude, this is like legitimately, I'm pissed.
Yeah. Well, that's how I was with Sinners. Like, I had some criticisms, but I was like, the vocal people online that didn't like it, I'm like, nah, I didn't like it like that. Like, you're just racist. You know?
Oh, you just hate black people.
If you don't like Sinners, cool. You're racist. Yeah. If you don't like this, you're smart.
I've seen that movie three times now, Sinners. So I've totally turned around. I don't think I've mentioned
what kind of racist are you, dude? You don't like Asian people? Oh, cool. We got one of those for you. Figured hate.
Yeah, but I think if you want original fucking horror movies, this and Sinners take some big risks.
Fuck yeah.
And I like that.
This went the Mad Max fucking 28 Days Later
route. Yeah, Danny Boyle's doing George Miller shit, and I like that he can just create whatever rules he wants. Yeah.
Yeah, and if the people who had survived would be fucking nuts.
Yeah.
Compared to how we live right now.
Ending, you know, Danny Boyle said it best in an interview. He was like, when I read the script, the first thing he basically thought of was Clockwork Orange. Like that type of reveal and the gang and stuff.
The Jimmies?
Yeah. So,
I'm
actually, even though it's Nia DaCosta and I don't have that much faith, I'm really hoping Danny Boyle is
rein her in.
Yeah,
rein in the monkey on the show.
Yeah, we need that a little bit.
Oh, speaking of which, you keep mentioning Sinners, and it's right there. Fucking Jimmy, by the way. I'm like, who is that?
Jack O'Connell.
Fucking Jack O'Connell is having. He's the bad guy vampire, the Irish vampire.
Ah.
So he's going to be in a larger role in the sequel, presumably. He's the leader of the gang, and he's a charismatic fellow.
He is.
I even like when he's like, one, two, three.
Fucking go.
Yeah.
It's like, dude. Or even that little moment where he's like, we're going to be good friends. Yeah. Or what does he say?
We're
going to be pals. Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Like, so I'm good. Fine with all of this
shit.
Yeah. Like, sorry, it's not in buildings again.
It's good.
Listen to the score, too. It feels like a fucking storybook. Like, it's a total, like, emotional roller coaster. It's great. I love the score. It's one of my favorites this year.
I don't know if I can drive to that because it has a lot of. Oh, and then did you learn about like that one, two, three, four?
Oh, the boots.
Yeah, boots. Yeah, yeah. And it's a poem by Rudyard Kipling.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like World War One.
I'm glad they incorporated it in the fucking movie. I was like, damn.
It's fucking dope.
Yeah.
Yeah, learning about that. Like, that's what I mean. Like, this was like a bit of a... This is a history lesson here.
Mm-hmm.
You know? Even though it's in the future.
Yeah. I'm hoping they Nia DaCosta is great at, like, highlighting a lot of cultural shit and history and holding up a mirror to things. And I'm hoping...
I like her angles and stuff.
Yeah, and she's has an eye for, yeah, for really great shots.
Depth of field and stuff. Mm-hmm.
And I
upside down buildings.
I'm going to give her a chance with this one. And, I mean, she's definitely got... They set her up. It's going to be hard to kind of like hopefully passing off the baton to her.
Let's just ignore that the Marvels exist.
Yeah. It's just like Ang Lee like was like with the Hulk, like psych. But you didn't like what she did with fucking Candyman either.
Not at all. But visually, yeah, amazing. But I'm just like, I don't you envy.
What, like what she did visually.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. And I just don't envy. I don't envy the task she has been put with following up with a movie. Like how it ended, I was like, damn, like how the fuck are you gonna...
As long as the script is
tight
and adhered to,
mm-hmm.
you know
and
what
they
I mean?
They haven't made a third one yet, depends on how well the sequel does. And if it does well, I really want Alex Garland to direct. I think that'd be sick to end it like that.
Mm. Yeah. Like Warfare, dude?
Yeah.
I started watching it and I was like... I need to be in the right frame of mind for this shit.
Oh, yeah.
I don't know if I want to hear guys screaming for 60 minutes, right?
Yeah.
Blood-curdling screams.
It's not a story film.
No.
It's just...
No.
Yeah.
All right. Pretty favorable for 28 years later. Go check it out if you haven't already.
Yeah. And if you haven't, you're like, that movie fucking sucked. Well, we told you why you're wrong already. Your expectations, like, why would they be the same? They're in the fucking forest. You know, just listen to it again.
We're right. You're wrong.
And besides that, Danny Boyle and Alex Garland are right. They know what the fuck they're doing. No, they can never do a bad movie. That's what that means.
That's it. They were just like, duh, everything they do is perfect.
Yeah, no, that's not true.
Well, yeah. In particular, you don't like Civil War, dude.
I'm not big on Civil War, and I didn't see Trainspotting 2 from.
Have you guys done Sunshine on the show?
No, that's Cillian Murphy, and that's fucking dope.
That would be a good one.
I don't believe so. Yeah, no, I think we've talked about it maybe a couple times.
It's come up a couple times. It's a
great movie, man.
Yeah, that's due for a rewatch.
What was the other one? George? Is that George Clooney? What's the
Solaris?
One Solaris, that's
remake, yeah.
That's Steven Soderbergh.
I like it.
Yeah, no, for a remake, I actually didn't mind it. I know, like, Tarkovsky fans fucking despise it. But
I haven't seen either one.
But it's got the Clint Mansell score, Solaris. It's, like, one of my favorite scores. I like it more than the movie.
Hmm.
Yeah.
It's good. I like Mansell, dude.
You like Mansell, dude?
I like Mansell, dude.
Cool, dude.
Yeah.
All right. We're gonna.
He's all looking up. We'll be back to talk about Solaris.
Talk about Solaris. That's dope.
It's goddamn. Like goddamn. This guy fucking sucks.
I thought he was cool.
That's. I think that's how everybody feels about us. The initially, it's like
nah.
Everybody doesn't think we're cool.
Oh, fuck. Maybe.
We're back.
We're back. Do we want to do the... We're back!
You did it.
Yeah, man. Let's fucking rev it up.
rev it up for the Immortan Joe.
Yeah. Bring her back?
Bring her back. Why don't you talk about it? Do the intro.
We watched a little movie called 2025's Bring Her Back. Directed by Danny Filippiu and Michael Filippiu.
A.K.A. Raka Raka.
Raka Raka, which Matt loves, even though these movies are mid. At best. This is the follow-up. This is the second feature film from they're brothers, right?
Mm-hmm.
I sure
brothers.
I think they're twins, yeah. I think.
Their prior film, their debut one was from a couple years ago, another mm-hmm. A24 joint called... Talk to Me.
That we liked.
Yep. So they're doing a thing with Talk to Me. Bring Her Back. The next one's going to have... Suck the dick. And then... No, but it is written by the same... Well, also, there's a dude named Bill Hinsman.
Bill Hinsman.
Mm-hmm. Starring...
There you go. Go to town.
Billy...
Oh, God.
I don't need to see that fucking stuff. Billy Barat. Sally Hawkins. God bless her. What a great actress. Jonah Wren Phillips. Misha Haywood. Stephen Phillips. Sally Ann Upton. Sora Wong. Catherine Adams, and a bunch of names that are surprisingly not very New Zealandish.
Yeah. I'd actually, the Billy Barrett, who is Andy in this film, I think I talked about the show Invasion handful of months ago, maybe close to a year.
I remember.
He's the kid in this movie, and he's actually my favorite part of the show. So it was kind of, it was cool to see him doing something.
Branching out.
Yeah. Jacob, what'd you think?
Well, every year I always look forward to who's gonna bring it with the feel bad horror movie of the year. You know, like When Evil Lurks was probably the most memorable one in recent memory, and I had no idea because I love Talk to Me, but I had no idea these guys were gonna, you know, bring her back. No, are going to bring the feel bad movie
bring it
back of the year. They're going to bring it back to Talk to Me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway, listen, this movie is fucking great. It feels so different than Talk to Me. I enjoyed it more than their first film. It's not as just kind of rapid fire as Talk to Me. There's a lot of ghost shit in that film and spirit stuff. This movie is very cultish and kind of has just lots of just subtle tension, kind of like Hereditary. Hereditary is a film I really pair this well with.
Comparison.
Yeah, where there's just bursts of violence that are just completely shocking, and it's all carried by an overall great cast like Hereditary, that you got great casting all around, with two protagonists that are left out of the marketing completely, which was a great surprise. This movie was very mysterious, and I loved just going in completely blind and seeing Sally Hawkins just... blind. Like Toni Collette, just fucking go all out in this role, and this movie is bleak. It's fucking tense and incredibly squeamish and uncomfortable, and I loved every minute of it.
Jeez, it's Sora Wong's first acting credit.
The little girl.
Only, yeah. Wow.
It's a lot to demand of a little child.
Jesus Christ, man. What the fuck?
Just goes to show that Hollyweird is up to some bad stuff.
Did you get the feeling that this could live in the same universe?
It is in the same universe. Oh, they confirmed it. Yeah.
Oh, I like that.
That's good.
I like that a lot. That makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. What else makes you happy?
I like this movie a whole bunch. I really just want to talk about it. I don't want to give too much here in this pre-cum here, but I liked it quite a bit. I actually don't have much to criticize, it's fucking delightful, and
it's not realistic
and bleak and it made me sad.
Fuck yeah, it made you sad. That is sad. The last fucking shot in the pool, even. And it's like, it seems, if you're saying it on paper, like, oh, that's okay, she's holding the kid. It's sad.
Hey, Robert Eggers.
Yeah. This is how you do it.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
No CGI rats here.
Nosferatu, dude. Nosferatu was a masterpiece, dude. That was his first masterpiece. Someone said that the other day. People's takes. The first three were okay, but Nosferatu was his first masterpiece. Damn. Like,
fuck out of here with that.
Laughing emoji reactions.
Jesus Christ, just all of them. speaking of CGI rats, if there was anything...
I thought you were going to introduce me.
Speaking of CGI rats, Red, what'd you think?
No, if there's anything... Go ahead.
I was going to say, if there is anything that's like overtly CGI, it's darn near imperceptible.
Yeah. Including like fucking chomping a fucking table, like the bits of that's a good segue. The bits of fucking body horror in this, because it's already like bringing the pain emotionally, and it takes its time. Like this was one where it's not out of boredom, but I was trying to track like the plot points, and so I'd look at my phone in the first hour two or three times, and at 20 minutes it's like a lot's established. And then at 30 minutes, once you get to 40 minutes, like, this thing fucking gets ugly, dude. Like, yeah. This movie gets very fucking unpleasant.
It gets horrific.
The moment they step into Sally Hawkins' house, I'm like, you need to leave.
Yeah.
And
you got to care.
I haven't felt that in a movie where I just felt like so unsafe. And it feels immersive. We were talking about sound design and the editing. And I'm just like, I feel I'm like one of these foster kids. And I see a kid like Oliver and I'm like, dude, I'm fucking on edge right now.
Yeah. And it brings, you guys mentioned Hereditary, and I walked out of it, of course, comparing it to Talk to Me for obvious reasons, but also the thing Sophia and I, we're talking about was Hereditary, because it has the supernatural thing, but it's very, like, do-it-yourself supernatural, very practical, and very you don't know what the fuck you're doing. And
The idea that she's basically using a VHS tape as like a spell book is such a unique take on ritual magic.
Yeah. And about time.
It's fucking awesome.
Yep. Yeah. And great script writing for an exposition dump. Just like, here, just watch this super lo-fi tape. And it spells out what's going on in the plot.
Well, and they obviously appreciate and respect like how unnerving, you know,
Russians are.
Well, no, tattoo, but found footage, right? But they didn't make a found footage movie. They're like, here, you have the unnerving found footage. Literally, here's the found footage. But we're not going to have the whole movie be fucking found footage because that would be dumb.
Why would they be filming?
Why would they be filming right now? She wants to make her own fucking. She's gonna film the lady driving from the school would be filming in the car. You know?
Right. We don't want that.
No, I'm just, but you know, I digress. She's but
streaming to YouTube. Why is she doing that?
Well, that's kind of, it's a joke, but that's how it is.
That's people do that.
That's how it would be in the movie.
Oh.
It wouldn't work.
Well, they could be like IRL streamers. That could work.
God damn. That's fucking.
He's like, what up, chat?
Yeah, the whole time.
It's just, hey, like, chat, it's chat. Like, chat, are we being possessed right now, chat?
Yeah, and then it has to be like jokey the whole time, right?
Chat.
Yeah,
they
like
almost
it would be dash cam, bring her back.
See, and Talk to Me, they not to talk about Talk to Me that much, but like they almost went to that level with like the social media shit, but they really showed some restraint. Could have been cringe as hell.
Anywho.
Yeah. The performances, like you mentioned, Sally Hawkins, I always like her. She's the mom in Paddington. In the first one, she's in Shape of Water as a mute lady. She was nominated for supporting actress. She got her brother, the other Hawkins.
Taylor Hawkins, the drummer from Foo Fighters?
Leave him out of this, brother. He's the greatest of all time.
Did you know she has lupus? Sally Hawkins, IRL. Yeah. Fucking. That's why in all the marketing, she's not present in like almost any of the marketing. She did one video with the directors. And that's like the only thing. Yeah. So apparently, one, she's also very private and she does not talk about her personal life. She doesn't go out. She's kind of a recluse in like real life. And also because of lupus. So she doesn't even travel like at all. Very rarely. Hmm. So like she's very picky with the scripts and she like was so drawn to this.
She was in Wonka.
And then felt like it was a crazy challenge and kind of brought it all.
Crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is one too. You mentioned Toni Collette also from Hereditary where she was. Like, now kind of famously at this point, because it's an iconic fucking modern horror movie at this point. Like, it really is. And it set, like, a bit of a fucking trend for elevated horror. I'm not saying it was the first, but, you know.
Without being too on the nose about it, like, it almost feels like a little bit of a love letter to Hereditary without being super, like, cloying about it.
Yeah. Because it's acknowledging the, yeah, what it was able to do, what it brought to the emotional aspect, right? Like the stuff too about, you know, and then Matt, you know, again, I'm former co-founder of the show, former host of the show, is like, oh, it's about grief again. Like this movie has so much more going on than just grief though, right? And it's got very interesting metaphysics to it, right? Like, so besides the grounded approach and the instead of the spell book, like you said, the do-it-yourself videotape, it also serves to kind of ground this stuff. Like, it feels like, because you never see anything, the situations are supernatural, but you'd only know that with the context. Otherwise, it's just really gross. But you don't see people levitating. Yeah. You don't see apparitions.
It's not that cryptic.
There's nothing like that. You have people's bodies that are used as vessels that are, or corpses rather, that are used as vessels to house fucking the recently disembodied, right? But the thing it suggests too, like if I recall correctly, the other person's consciousness is in there. It's kind of like Get Out.
They're
like
battling a little bit for supremacy.
Yeah, like they're in the sunken place type deal. Mm-hmm. There's a bit of like dissociative identity disorder shit and like programming stuff.
Well, and there's also like a demon in the mix too, because like the demon's in control.
Yeah.
And
it's a hungry little guy.
It's a hungry little fucker.
Yeah.
Which is like it's holding the real person at bay. And then also the spirit that it's like introduced into the body at bay.
Yeah, he's the dealer.
It's crazy. The lore is insane.
Yeah. It is. And it doesn't, like, you know what? Now that you mention it, it doesn't do like an info dump either. You know what I mean?
No, dude, you're having to take context notes from a not subtitled Russian VHS tape.
Right. It's like don't tell, show.
Yeah.
Show them the tape.
Incredible.
Yeah. And it's fucking super simple too, right? Like, it's really like, have we seen people get exorcisms or get possessed in movies?
Yeah.
Have we seen it like this? I haven't seen it like this. Like, nope.
Well, and
it didn't feel like this.
The moments that they do info dump, it never feels like they're spoon feeding you shit. They're like that moment when she says, they're at the funeral and she says, you know, I've heard that, you know, sometimes the souls are in the bodies for a couple few days until. And it's like, oh, that's how she knows, because like she was trying to take her daughter out of her body, like her daughter's soul out of the body, right. Which is really clever. It's really clever storytelling.
Yeah, because it hits you afterwards, like oh, that's why she knows.
Yep.
Yeah. And then they set up these plot points too, like, so when the brother, I like what they did there with that too, by the way. Sorry to go into that real quick. He's like the only dude, right?
Yeah.
And it's kind of like, and he is angry, and there is like, and guys, you know, he's angry and he is potentially, could he get violent? Yeah. Mm-hmm. And all that stuff.
Yeah, but he's the biggest obstacle and threat to what's her name? Laura.
Yeah. They really use that against him and gaslight the fuck out of him.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, there's some like, that's a buzzword, right? But there's some serious fucking
gaslighting. This is gaslighting the movie.
Yeah. This is Gaslight fucking city, dude.
The one scene, and I think it's my favorite, like, non-squeamish, like, you know, gory horror scene. My favorite just uncomfortable scene has got to be the viewing with the father in the casket. And
the whole kiss him
telling
bit.
Him to kiss him. And it's like, it's custom. He's rubbing custom. His back. And then he's like, no, kiss him on the lips. And then embraces him. He's like, it's okay. It's so, like, oh my gosh, it's so manipulative.
I love the idea that that's all part of the spell.
I like.
He has to do this stuff in order to progress the.
Also, though, no, I'm glad you brought that up, because that was like the kind of subtext in this movie, because they brought a lot to this shit.
Yeah.
What she's doing, it's like, oh, it's outlandish and all this, but it's like, this is about how people come to terms with death again, which is shit. It came up 28 years later, but it comes up in horror movies frequently, right? Mm-hmm. Obviously. But so if it's normalized, right? Like, the normalized thing is you put the dead person in a coffin, you dress them up with makeup. You dress up the corpse with makeup.
Mm-hmm. To make and you them go look up good to for them us.
To make it look good for you. And then you go kiss them. I mean, it is custom for a lot of people.
Yeah, I've done it.
It's custom. And it's like, what she's doing, it's like, oh, what she's doing is fucked up. It's like, if it worked and everyone knew about it, if this is what people do normally, like the coffin and the makeup and to make you feel better, if you could bring your loved one back selfishly to make you feel better, people would be doing it.
Yep.
They would be fucking doing it.
Yeah.
So
it's always made me very uncomfortable. Like, I've, at way too young of an age, I've been to like way too many viewings. And
I didn't know that.
I've seen at least maybe like at least 10, maybe more.
You know what? As a father, like my relationship with funerals has really changed, because I don't want to bring them to fucking funerals, dude, like ever. Like, I just don't want them to interact with that, really. Because what are we doing? What are we fucking doing?
What do you mean? With the ritual?
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I do know. It's about people trying to make peace with the fucking inevitable, right? But I could. I mean, I'm not a father, so I can see how the thing is outlandish, right? But in lieu of a better ritual, like, it's as good as any to show it. They're gonna see it eventually. I mean, do they know about death?
Yeah.
What do they know, dude? No.
So I wanted to talk a little bit more specifically about the, because I, you know, the rapper of this film is incredible, but
you don't say that often.
I don't.
Yeah.
And Jacob mentioned it earlier when he was talking about like the moments of gore and the moments of body horror are just so impactful because it's not like hitting you like, well, he's doing something else. He's doing something else to himself. I just think the amount of like suffering that he's doing to himself, it feels so impactful because they aren't overdoing it. And I that first moment that you hear him doing something and then you see what he's doing is fucking unbelievable.
You're talking about with the knife too?
With the knife, my God.
That's some of the most effective sound design. Like, you could have, like, they could have showed it for only half a second and then just hear the rest of it, and it would have been just as effective.
It was bad, dude. Yeah. Like I'm always bad.
they showed it all.
We've said it multiple times, but like it vibes of the piano wire scene in Hereditary.
Well, and it vibes of like fucking, I'm sorry, but good Cronenberg too.
Yeah,
with the body horror, it's just super. There's a supernatural tinge to it. Like, I'm thinking even recently when we watched The Ice Is Gonna Break, The Dead Zone.
Mm.
And the dude with the fucking scissors. Because, like, like, it shows us, but it like, you know where this is going before they show us. And it's like, God, dude, don't do this. And we're pretty jaded fucking people as far as, I don't mean, you know, like, we're fucking mercenaries or something. No, but, like, we watch fucking a lot of horror movies. Yeah. And it was very... Like, I wanted to almost look away.
Yeah?
Because it was that uncomfortable.
Well, because it hits you with that, and then the next moment, and then the next moment, and the next moment. Yeah. It just...
All your barriers are broken down.
For, like, 3 minutes, they got you. They fucking got you in that scene.
Yeah, there was a review that someone posted on our Discord from our Patreon. It was a snippet from Letterboxd, I believe. Where someone was talking about how horrible this movie made them feel, and it made them feel awful. I think you shared it, actually.
Was it?
Yeah.
Me or someone else. But yeah, it makes you want to just fucking, you're like, I'm in.
Sad, and it's horrible, and it's horrifying, and it made me feel terrible things, and I hated every minute of it. And it's like, that sounds like a pretty fucking effective movie right there. Mm-hmm. And I didn't hate it at all, but it is sad, and it really does. It goes there with that stuff.
What's so masterful about it is that, like, you've got every relationship covered here. Are you an older brother? They got you. Are you a younger sibling? They got you. Are you a fucking dad? They got you. Are you a bad dad? They really got you. Yeah.
Did you lose a loved one or a parent?
They got you. Yeah. Like, they're
are you a parent who lost a child?
They're fucking everywhere. They're like, you know what, bitch? Buckle up. And if you're any of these things, it's worse.
Very true, man. They got the sibling relationship. They got the child relationship, the dead parent, the dead kid. And there's some symmetry there, too. I didn't even think about that. They lost their father. She lost the child.
Yeah.
Right?
And again, another one of these things where it's like, they you know, the fact that they got an actress who actually is, like, has a disability. Not that I'm like, this actress, this character has to be blind in real life.
No.
But I just think that, like, giving this kid a shot at, you know, an acting role that is so impactful and so, like, such a difficult role is, like, these two motherfuckers... They doing it.
The chemistry's insane. I'm almost like sad that they were left out of all the market. All the marketing was Sally Hawkins and the Oliver kid. There was like none of those two. Like, I had no idea. Like, oh, these are your main characters. Yeah. Big surprise.
Well, and there's no way with enough time this doesn't become of course, more well known. Even like Talk to Me since it was released, which was a big hit for an indie horror film. Yeah. You know, more and more people have seen it. Like Hereditary was a big hit when it came out for a little indie film. Since then, though, it's like fucking probably, well, not probably, millions of people have seen that movie now.
Yeah. And it's great that the Philippou brothers, they wanted to take a break to go in fresh with the Talk to Me 2 sequel, because that was announced immediately after the first one was a hit opening weekend. So they said, we want to go in with fresh eyes. Let's just focus on another horror project. And they also worked on this because they left and exited their Street Fighter movie. They were originally going to be doing Street Fighter, but I think there was like creative differences. And
well, I'm happy about the creative differences, and did it produce this at this time?
Because
like this.
And now I'm seeing Street Fighter and who got casted in Street Fighter, and I'm like, you know what? I think they did it. I could see why they left the fucking production, because I bet you the producers are like, you got to have this cast, and they were like, that's fucking dumb.
I really hope this is a working title, but the fucking sequel to Talk to Me is literally Talk to Me.
Damn.
We don't. That's all right.
You know what? Maybe they'll figure that out. Maybe
it's like Fast and the Furious.
Too Fast, Too Furious.
Maybe they're like, "Fuck you, we can do this, and it'll be good.
And it'll be dope." To Talk to Furious.
Tick tock to me.
Damn.
There was something else real quick. God damn it! That you mentioned. Oh, I forgot all about the filmmaking in a sense. Not entirely. We've talked a bit, but as far as visually. And like you talked about the sound thing, but there's stuff with colors. Like the color green in this movie is used a lot. Mm-hmm. Like it's very intentional. You know what I'm talking about?
The pool.
I didn't think about it until you brought it up.
And it's even in the poster. And in the poster, I noticed she had this like purple nail polish, but it's like
she wears a lot of purple.
It's all chipped, which is like, so there's these little stylistic things which are subtle. But it gives the fucking thing some style, like some personality.
Yeah.
Even though it's not like she's supposed to be a fucking fashion person or something. But it's, you know, she does. She wears a lot of purple. There's a lot of, like, color thematic stuff. Like, where's, you see her? You see that?
Oh, dude, you see this shit, dude?
You see the circle,
it's
dude?
It's a rival, dude.
Oh, that would be dope.
It's the language of the fucking aliens, dude.
Fuck. Imagine those guys doing a fucking alien movie. No, not alien.
Like an alien.
But like an alien invasion.
It would be fucked up.
Yeah, fucked up alien movie with grief.
And I like that, too, that, they couldn't leave the fucking area, right? That was nice, too.
Ooh, yeah.
Because they get scrambled. Like, the other thing gets pushed out, and then she has to... It's like a reset. Again, it's not like, we're going to need some CGI for this. It's like, no, you're going to like mess with the third eye right here, like long enough. And it really
placate this demon real quick.
Yeah, it really grounds it and makes it like, fuck, it localizes it. Like, oh shit, like, is that easy? It's like, yeah, it's like, yeah, like you're susceptible, dude. Like, that's pretty good. So,
yeah, I mean, this, to me, this is so far number one of the year.
For me, it is too far. Number one. Yeah,
it's gonna be tough.
Didn't Seaver say this was number one of the year so far?
That was like the one thing in his ranking I 100% agreed with, and everything else was like, God damn, dude.
His fucking list drive me crazy.
The monkey was number two.
Yeah, something wild like that, dude. It was. I got a good chuckle out of it. I love that he randomly just pops in and is baiting us like a motherfucker.
He rage baits, and then it's just like, peace, I'm off to go deliver mail, motherfuckers.
Yeah, he's got a good style now. Like, when he's like, sup, bitches, which is like the most... fucking idiotic thing. It's
most annoying fucking thing. Can I tell you one of my favorite moments is when that the social worker gets absolutely fucking clobbered by the car.
Our theater did erupt in laughter because it was just, I think it was more just shocking as fuck.
So because, abrupt.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It was good. And then homegirl fucking drowns our other protagonist, and it's like, oh shit, that he's gone.
That ship was fucking... Oh, thank you. Yes, because it's been a while. It's been about a month or so since I'd seen it in the theater. Yeah, dude. Like, left turns, right? It's not going the predictable formulaic route here. It kills the protagonist, but that means he can jump into somebody. right? Mm.
That's true.
Yeah. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah. Well, I that's kind of what I assumed was going on a little bit.
Oh.
That's why at the end it kind of turns on her.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Because it's not like one or the other. It's two things can be true at the same time. They're both in there. And they both have a reason to be against her.
So then at that point, there's like three in there?
That's what I got from it. Because there was a thing too. There was a little like indication. It was like a little motif that like indicated it was him. That he's in there.
Oh, shit.
You get what I'm saying? So... Oh yeah, yeah. So
I get what you're saying, but I didn't catch on to that at all. Literally at all.
He's in the fucking area, and it's like, yeah, let me fucking go in. And then,
well, I guess that would stand to reason, right? Like if the body is like a siphon for souls,
yep.
Then if somebody dies around it, it's getting slurped up in there.
Even if they weren't trying to, it's not like it's kind of like a magnet.
Yeah. And just imagine, like, if this is the same universe, right? Like, if we're talking like the same universe as Talk to Me,
yeah.
They're in literal hell when they're in that fucking body.
Oh, that's true too, right?
Because you know, the hell that they're probably experiencing while they're like trying to get out of this body has got to be unbearable.
Yeah,
which says some fucked up things about this poor kid's demise,
right? And it has, and if, you know, it's not like they don't have their memory of, they have their memories and their subjective personality and all that stuff. So yeah, that's kind of what I picked up, that he's in there. And the other kid is in there whose personality reemerges later.
Right.
Like it does come back. He's still in there.
This movie definitely ends on a certain note.
Oh yeah, sure. He's in the car. Right. Yeah,
this movie, he's like, you don't even want to call it a happy ending. You
it's
know?
Not. Yeah, it's not. It's, because it's, if there's any, I mean, look.
Some people survive, but you don't feel good.
beyond like the physical trauma, because he's fucked up. Like his physical body is fucked.
Yeah.
His jaw is shit.
Yeah.
Like if we're talking like, because I do the thing where I'm like, dude, that's going to be like fucking... 8 implants and, you know, blah, 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 blah. Yeah. Not to mention the psychological and, like, spiritual fuckery that he's got to deal with.
When you mention that, too, like, and again, like, these dudes are very, like, complete thinkers about this stuff. Like, what does this kid have in store for him? What he has in store for him is a lifetime of institutionalization. I say that because he's literally experienced these things and no one will believe it.
Yeah,
it's going to make his psychological stuff and his alienation and the catatonia worse.
It's worse that he's alive and he's survived.
In a sense, because no one's going to believe that, and it's like you know what I mean. It's not like, oh, let me forget this ever happened. Like it was too long. It was too intense.
That's how fucked this movie is. Where you're like, I wish this kid died because he would have been spared.
Well, yeah, because he's never going to even have the luxury of processing that trauma because people, they'll be like, oh, you were abused. You were abused.
Get over it.
They'll be like, you were abused. This didn't happen. Or you're abused and treat it like that's not real. He'll never actually be able to process with someone who understands, like, this part was real.
He'll just stop talking about it. Nobody will be able to help him through the supernatural shit that he went through. Right?
Yeah, because it's, for him, it's not super, it's natural. Like, it happened. You know what I mean? And that's fucked up. Like, he's kind of stuck in his body anyway now.
Mm-hmm.
Which is dope.
So these fucking YouTubers,
I don't know what's up with them.
What the fuck?
And why is it so fucked up?
Because what they got going on in Australia, man?
I don't know. I mean, Tropical Fuck Storm is from Australia.
You're just talking about Rocka Rocka as a whole, like
these
guys came out of fucking nowhere. One of the most kinetic like horror directors out there.
The only. Not the only thing, but comedy was the thing on Rocka Rocka, right?
Yeah.
But comedy and horror have a few things in common. One of them is timing, though. So they understand timing.
And pacing.
Yeah. Tension and release.
And they do good fight choreography, which is about like movement and timing, you know, and just having a visual impact on action, any sort of action in general. Yeah. Like these guys, like when they're doing interviews on IGN, like they're wrestling each other and like fucking breaking tables and jumping over sofas. Like they're like super hyperactive guys and
ADHD baby.
Yeah.
Do you think they should attack Taika Waititi.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like physically?
Yeah. I mean, I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, do fuck it, dude. That dude. Fuck him. He was on top of the world, but now everyone's sick of it because of like one bad movie.
Not anymore because Taika Waititi lost. They lost the rights to Akira. It reverted back.
Good.
So thank God that's not happening.
Thank fucking God. Yeah. Like that was that does not need to happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. We don't need a westernized Akira anyway. Much less from talk about a mismatch of material. Mm-hmm. Like, could it be good? Yeah, but. What'd you think of Thor: Love and Thunder, dude?
Oh, dude, you know, Christian Bale was kind of cool for 2 minutes, you know.
And the first 2 minutes?
The first 2 minutes was cool, and then that's it.
Yeah, that sucks about Taika Waititi. Like,
that sucks about him, man. He made a movie about Hitler, and like, you know,
Jojo Rabbit was good. Thor Ragnarok was good.
What We Do in the Shadows, the first movie, amazing.
The pirate Sean fucking Max.
This flag means death or something.
Yeah, that was cool. I saw a few episodes of that. Like, yeah, it's fucking getting hated on now. Like, I hated Thor: Love and Thunder, but I think give him another chance. You know. That's weird. That's a big turnaround.
Oh, you know what? Speaking of give it another chance, I did watch something else. I watched Oblivion with Tom Cruise. Oh,
fuck yeah. We were talking about Kaczynski earlier.
I've never seen it. I actually want to watch it.
It's actually not that bad, man. I'm like 20 minutes away from the ending. And
you hadn't seen it?
I hadn't seen it.
You got to the twist already then. The reveal. I'm not telling you shit.
Didn't I?
I think you did. The production design is cool though.
Yeah, huh? It's cool as shit.
All the white stuff and like all the white people.
He's like,
hey, you know what's cool? All the white stuff. Slick stuff.
I think he just came out so close to like After Earth, I think.
Yeah.
I was just like, I don't wanna
Ain't no way.
I'm not trusting any of these sci-fi movies right now, but yeah. I really want to give it a chance.
What was it? After Earth fucking with dumbass and his son, mm-hmm. That stupid accent they were doing. Jesus.
Jupiter Ascending.
Fuck.
Right around it all at the same time, yeah.
What happened?
Cloud Atlas.
I haven't seen either of those, and I get them mixed up in my head.
Cloud Atlas is fucked up. There's parts of Cloud Atlas too where I'm like, this is really
what was the other one?
Good right now.
John Carter
from Mars. Yeah, that shit was dope. That was one where the budget was so huge gamble. And it was trashed and all that. And then I saw it. I streamed it, and then I was like, way better than I thought it was going to be. No, because I thought it would just be one of the worst movies ever.
I heard it was actually good. It was kind of sad that it didn't do well. And it's like one of the most epic fucking influences on sci-fi.
Edgar Rice Burroughs. Yeah, it's a pretty fucking cool... The source material, which I haven't read, but you can tell like the heart of it's in there. Mm-hmm. And it is fucking cool.
And they advertise it as like a little kid's movie. And you're like, and it's not that.
Yeah. Oh, speaking of which, we watched 28 Years Later yesterday? Mm-hmm. Yeah, yesterday. Got the trailer for Predator Badlands. Mm-hmm. The CGI is cleaning up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
They're doing something different with the face, the Predator face. It looks better.
The trailer fucks in theaters.
Yeah. And the music's good. Fucking
good. That guitar dun, thing. Dun, dun, yeah. Dun,
yeah.
Dun, dun. Welcome to a world of hurt. You're like,
at first I thought it was Dune, and I was like, oh.
Well, that's what I mean. Like, every time it opens, I'm like, is this... It's like, no, this is Predator. That's how big time we're going here.
Yeah.
Like, yeah. I don't... At the end, I'm sick of seeing the CGI fucking plant tendrils.
Mm. Oh, no, we're going to be seeing this trailer, what, till November?
Exactly.
Oh,
I hope it's not PG-13, but I have no reason not to trust Trachtenberg.
Yeah.
Regardless what it ends up being. Because, you know, he's the Predator you're talking about. He's the main character.
Yeah.
And so they're the human counterpoint.
Yeah, his name is Deke or something like that.
Dude. Yes. he's supposed to be a younger... Yautja? Yautja.
Yeah, I think this is his little trial, right?
Yeah, and that's why he doesn't have... I mean, he hasn't picked his face
enough. He hasn't fucked yet.
Exactly. Maybe he'll... I bet... that'll be not I bet, but at the end, maybe they'll appease all the fucking idiots. And at the end, after he goes like all the shit will pop out on his face.
Oh, dude. No, he's going to fuck the android.
Oh, fuck yeah.
With his fucking weirdo, like... What do you think their dicks look like? Do you think it's
I've thought about that recently.
Do you think it's more like duck corkscrew or like fanged? Like a...
It's like a lizard arm.
You think it's like a lizard arm?
Yeah.
What lizards have fucked up dicks? Don't like geckos have like flared out like...
They have a thing that spirals. They have a thing that... It's like a little thing that snaps.
Everyone's got a spiral dick but us.
You spiral know? Out, dude.
Yeah, no, but it goes like a lollipop. Like... Not like a corkscrew, not that kind of spiral. What I mean is it goes like that, and it goes.
It makes that sound. It comes. It
like a fruit roll. Like a fruit
it roller. Unfurls. Wait a minute.
It's a fruit roller.
What's the gecko one? We looked at that before. They look like little adapters. Gecko.
Let's see. Weirdest
gecko dicks.
Animal penises.
Gecko dick podcast.
Okay. Oh fuck! Echidnas have. We are like four-toed dicks, dude. What the fuck? Look at that thing, man.
Holy shit.
Holy
Buddha?
Shit. Echidnas.
What the fuck is... What is that?
Suction cups.
That's
maybe?
Knuckles, dude. From Sonic and Knuckles.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah.
God damn.
Holy shit, dude. Oh. Possums have two-pronged, like, spiky dicks. Wow. Nature's something else, man. Nature is something else.
I'm trying to see the gecko dick, and I can't find it.
Let's see. Okay, well, hold on. I got to look up animal...
The gecko dick is just like a normal stubby boy. Look at that. Oh. Spiked. Look at him.
He just got a little dick.
Yeah, dude.
Think boy. Whoa! Duh, male cats, dude. They have actual spines on their dicks.
Yeah. That's fucked up, eh?
That is fucked up. Cats, what are you doing? You're abusing your mates, man. Let's get some of that bisexual lighting, please.
The bisexual?
Yeah, let's go bisexual on this lighting, please.
Purple?
Yeah, purple blue. We can do it. It's pretty close, yeah. So what do we think? Bring her back? Did it bring us back?
It brought us back.
Yeah, I'm looking. I'll be looking forward to their next movie. It'd probably Talk to Me Too, and seeing kind of where
Talk to Me.
Oh yeah, Talk to Jesus. Yeah, I'm curious where it goes because talk I'm like, to if there's some like cheesy like store of like oddities, I feel like the hand and Talk to Me and these VHS tapes that Laura have all came from like some collector or something like that. Like, there's definitely. Lots of these relics floating
like
around.
A shop of yeah. fucked up relics.
And yeah, this world is definitely what I want, not the James Wanverse shit. You know, this is more like it.
Yeah, the supernatural stuff that happens in this world, I want more of it.
Yeah.
Like, give me hauntings, give mm-hmm. me possessions, like all of it. I want it all.
You want more of that kind of shit?
I want more of it.
I think them doing a sci-fi type deal would be...
Yeah,
but in the same universe.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, it's all sci-fi then, because it's all like actually, it's all actually happening.
It's all just vibe.
It's all just vibes.
Ah, it's all just vibes.
Yeah. And do you feel a little different after the discussion about 28 years later than it seems like?
What do you mean?
You still have problems with the infected?
Yeah.
The dicks.
No, I want more dicks. If they're going to give me dicks, I want them to be like, yeah. I want to see it like erect.
It's just jarring not to have as many infected.
No, I just don't like the idea of the alpha really.
Oh, the alpha. That's right.
The alpha stuff is what puts me off of it. Not the dicks themselves. The literal alpha. Mm-hmm.
Why? Why is it like that?
Hey, look at this.
It's like the Alien Queen, man. Like, fucking, instead of the Alien Queen, you've got the fucking zombie schlong. Like, you know?
Which I'm fine with. I'm fine with the dick.
However you need to get to the fucking oversized dick.
I wish Ralph Fiennes had a big dick. And we saw that.
I was sad to find out not all of them are prosthetics, which makes complete sense because they had to film around a kid.
Yeah.
Yeah, so everything's prosthetics.
Well, as if a prosthetic dick isn't as traumatizing as a real dick to a child.
Yeah.
What?
Sorry, I'm being autistic. Give me some direction. No, I'm just going to try to be natural because I'm doing autism.
This is autism month for you?
Dude, did you see my fucking scores that I sent you?
Thanks. Yes.
Are you surprised?
No, you're autistic as fuck, bro.
Damn it, Jacob. These are autistic, dude. Help me. Here, I'm gonna
help her out.
I'm like, oh, it's picture time. Let me put my hands up here like an autist.
Like this. Like, what do I do with my hands?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, you're fucked.
I don't know what you want.
It's your fault, man.
Well, everybody, that's the Who Goes There podcast for episode 439. This is Jorge signing out.
This is Jacob.
And this is Ree.
Bye, idiots.
Bye, Sophia.
I'm not gonna worry wrinkles in my brow. Nothing's ever gonna be alright, no how. No matter how I struggle and strive, I'll never get out of this world alive.